In the name of God, the most gracious, the most merciful, greetings to you all. I hope you're all doing well, and we are here with another audio file and another podcast with the topic of creativity in sales. In the previous podcasts, we said that if you promote creativity in sales, your customer base will increase and your income will increase. Today, we want to continue our discussion about creativity in sales. And so far, we talked about the need, and we realized that a person who wants to pay for a purchase is based on his needs. His needs can be emotional or logical. Those who have listened to the previous sessions, they know that. But if you didn't, make sure that the previous podcasts will be listened to. You will listen to them in an order in order to get the most out of it, and you will have a better business. But regarding creativity in sales, this is the topic we want to discuss today. What does creativity in sales mean? What does it mean that I want to create? All of you are creative people. Everyone is, for himself, for herself. You know, I'm going to tell you a story because I remember something like, 30 years ago, not only people had less money, but also they had no facilities as well. Life was harder than these days. So if you remember, there were no water heater that combines the cold and the hot water. The water taps that we see these days, they didn't exist that time. I knew a person by then that this person, in order to get a moderate temperature of water, had a very creative idea in his house. You see, there were two parts, one with cold water and one with hot water. This person, in order to have this moderate normal temperature, had actually a facility. They came up with some tools that it mixed up these two water taps in order to mix the water, hot and cold, and finally provide a moderate temperature. So whenever you wanted this, you just turned on those water taps and you have the final good normal temperatured water. So this idea was so interesting to me, and the way that he was creative with it. Or for example, you go to some people's house and you see that their walls, they have some problems. For example, they are crooked or broken because of, for example, the location that they live in or the problems that they damaged some parts. Then they come up with some creative ideas in order to cover those damaged parts with some paintings, with some activities, some tools. These are all interesting creative ideas that people do and people use on a daily basis. Now, this creativity is really beautiful. Some people, they do this for their own benefit, and some people, they go one step further and they benefit others as well. So we have all seen a lot of things like this and a lot of examples like this. For example, in traffic, some people, they find some directions, they just go to some places, they use some alleys, the streets, in order not to be stuck in the traffic and reach their destination. So that is, again, interesting. In some cultures, they might call it, non-cultured behavior, but I believe these people are very interesting and they are actually doing their best, and it's interesting for me. And creativity is something that causes us to call some people smart. For example, if you hear that Iranians, Kenyans, different people from all different countries, they are smart, it's because of the creativity that they have and they use. Because, for example, in Iran, I'm seeing people and I'm seeing how they have a lot of different creative ideas and they use it on an everyday life, and they are famous for this. So this is amazing. Creative ideas, designing new things, making new things, being very precise and detailed is very, very important. And in the markets, it's also very important, and some groups of people, they can be famous for this creativity. Or imagine you're watching a movie, right? And you see the actor or the actress of the movie pointing out some sequences, some activities, some behaviors, some characteristics in order to point out that movie character. They use these techniques, some creative techniques, in order to be the best on that role that they are playing. That is again about creativity. Now, let's see, what's the point of these creativities and why are we talking about it? So many people, they want to just act like a robot in sales. They don't want to show any creativity. They just want to act like a robot. What does it mean? It means that if this person will be omitted and is not there in the market anymore, the sales will still happen. And this person is not having a specific role, but it's not true. If you want to be a professional seller, you shouldn't be like a robot. A professional seller is someone that if he is not there in the business, and if you replace it with another person, the sales will decrease. This is how to be a professional seller. So you don't want to be an amateur. Don't be a non-professional. Try to invest in yourself, work on yourself, and create a professional seller out of yourself. Don't be happy when someone just with the aim to buy comes, purchase, and goes, and you have no specific role or impact on them. This is not important. When you are a professional seller, that you have a very important role and impact in the process of sales. As a professional seller, in the process of negotiations and sales, you need to be happy that you made this person to sign the contract with you and it was you who sold to them. If it happened, then you can congratulate yourself after each single deal and you can be very happy about it. But if it's not the case happening right now, you just know that you are an amateur and it's okay. Just understand and comprehend that today you are an amateur and that's okay. Then when you understand this, you have to find out where your shortcomings are and get rid of them. So how do we know where our shortcomings are? In all of these training files, in all of these podcasts that we provide, you can find the points of your shortcomings. You can find exactly what is the problem. So keep it in mind that you won't reach your shortcomings until a professional sees you, observes you, and tells you that you are having these kinds of problems in your business. So in all of these files, we have observed so many people, so many salespeople, and we understood about these shortcomings, and we are sharing this with you so that you can fix them in yourself, you can actually get rid of them, and you can be successful. So keep it in mind, in big businesses, robots cannot sell. We talked about it in previous podcasts, actually, that robots and artificial intelligence, or we call it AI, can be replaced in small businesses, in retail businesses, but not in big businesses. When we are talking about small businesses, like, for example, Amazon, yes, robots can sell. There's a website with some robots. The customer just visits the website, chooses what they want, and that's it. But in big businesses, when we are talking about large quantities, robots cannot do it because the customer needs to negotiate and find out more about the products and gain more information. So growth and a lot of profit does not happen in small businesses, and growth and a lot of profit does not happen when you want to sell like robots. Keep this in mind. Now let's continue talking about creativity of in sales, which was the main topic today. See, in the art of selling, you need to practice a lot. What do you need to practice? I'm going to tell you a few things. Some of them are about you personally, and some of them are about your business. So first of all, when it comes to the most attractive features of your product or service, do you know about them? What are they? Can you present them? Can you talk about them? Do it and see, are you yourself? Are you even attracted to this product? Are you attracted to these services? For example, you can take a piece of paper. You can write it out. Okay, you can write what attracts me to my own business, to my own product. What are the main features? What are the main interesting characteristics of these products that I'm selling. You can write it down and check. Are you attracted? Does it have any impact on you? Then secondly, you can go and share it with someone else. For example, dad, mom, sister, brother, friend, anyone. Just take a look. Read these points. Or let me explain to you these features. See, are they attracted to your business? Are they getting attracted to your products? So, this is one thing. This is the first thing that you need to be focused, and you need to fully be aware of the characteristics and features of your products and services that can attract others. The second point that you want to check is that your product or your services, what special needs do they meet from the customer? What a special demand they can provide the answer for the customer? So, why should a customer purchase your product or get your services? What can you do for them, and why is your product and your service good and useful to them? These are all the questions that you should know. If you are working with suppliers, okay, how can you meet their needs? If you're working with customers, how can you meet their needs? And the third point and the third question is that your company. Maybe you tell me, I don't have a company and I'm an individual. That's okay. You are here to build a business. So in future, you're going to have a company. Now you're an individual, but don't think of yourself like that. Think that I am an entrepreneur. I'm a founder of my own business. In future, I'm going to have a huge team. So this team, this company, what a special needs meet, actually it meets from the customers, and what are you having in order to be competing with your competitors? What is special about your firm? What is special about your company? What is special about your business when you compare it to other competitors? What do you have to offer? So these are the points about your business. Now let's get to you personally. We want to talk about you as a businessman, as a salesperson, your personality, and things that you should work on yourself. The first thing is about specialty. What is your field of specialty? If you want to choose a product, for example, what field are you experienced in? What is your specialty in products? So many people, they come to us and they say we don't know what to work on and what products to consider. The first answer is go for the things that you are a specialist in. Go for the things that you are experienced in. You can compare it. See, we have general practitioners and we have specialist doctors. Which one is more informative? Which one knows more? Which one can help more people? So when you're a specialist at what you're doing, you are more useful in the business, in the work that you are doing. So it's very important. When customers see you as a specialist, they will trust you better and they will buy from you easier. So you may tell me that right now I don't have any experience and I'm not a specialist in my field. That's yet again okay, but you have to be one. You have to start learning, you have to gain some information, you have to gain some experience in order to become one. So you have to be a specialist in your field. Now, where can I get to be a specialist? You can go and learn. You can start as a trainer, as a student, and you can start as a mentee. So you can go to like few places that they are already doing the business. You can go to the people that they are already experienced in this field. You can learn from them. Here in our office, we had a lot of people that they came for a few months, like 2 or 3 months, all right, as a mentorship, as a training ship, that they came here in order to learn how to negotiate, how to do the business, how to get the job done. So they spent some time in order to learn how to sell. You can do it as well. Just remember, don't go to some places that a robot can also sell. For example, don't go to a supermarket and try to become a salesperson. You cannot be like that. Because here you are aiming for a big business, for a wholesale business. So wholesale business, as we talked about it, cannot happen with robots. So if you go and get the training from a small supermarket or a small business that even robots can sell there, then you're not learning much. Or what you're learning is not going to be useful for you. So instead of going and starting to learn in some places like supermarkets, that a person comes, they want to get some chips, some snacks. If you are not there and another salesperson is there, they still buy the product. Your presence is not that important there. It's not useful. Go as a sales manager, as a sales representative, as a sales specialist, that you have to talk, you have to present a product in order for a product to be sold. The companies that they present their goods in order to sell it, the companies that they sell in bulk, in wholesale, these are the places that they are the best options for this training, and you can learn how to present a product. For example, furniture. Furniture is a kind of product that a person does not come and just want to buy. No, you have to convince them. You have to point out the specifications and the characteristics of your products so that the customer will buy from you and not your competitor. These are the places that can make you a real seller. So this was the first point that we talked about. You need to be a specialist in your own field. You have to learn. You can read books, you can listen to podcasts, you can watch videos. Anyhow you do it, try to be a specialist. Try to be a professional salesperson who knows what he is doing. So, for example, imagine you are a salesperson of honey and your business is about honey. You should know what's real honey, what's fake honey, how they are made, how are they different, how to identify them, what are the specific actually factors of each model, of each type. It's very important that you are fully aware of what you are selling. You know what you are offering to people, and you can suggest people so that they see you as a real specialist in this field. And the second point that we want to talk about is about distinction. Your distinction with others. What makes you different with other people that they are also working on your field? For example, we have a trader here in Arad branding for honey, and we have a non-Aradi trader as well outside of the company that he is also working on honey. So when we compare them, who sells is up higher, and why is that? Why people buy more from this person? What made this person special? These are also the points that you should consider. What makes me special in the business? What makes people to buy more from me rather than my competitors? And how can I increase that? Some points, you can check them, you can see them, you can compare yourself with them, and you can understand your shortcomings. But some points should be observed and seen by a specialist as well. For example, a mentor, a consultant, a manager, they can check your character, they can check your personality, they can check how you are selling and point out these shortcomings as well. You see, let me tell you a story here. It was NASA, right? NASA, that was sending its groups of astronauts to space. And as you already know, they wanted to take notes, they wanted to write something, and they couldn't use pens because of the ink and the gravity. The pen was not useful in space. Then they came back to Earth and they actually said that, okay, we want to write, we want to take some notes, but we cannot do it with pens and we should find an alternative. Then NASA took a lot of time and effort in order to make another product, to make something that could be replacing these pens, and so that astronauts can write in a space as well. Then they came up with this product. They were so proud of themselves that they made this product and they were so happy about it. And then the country, Russia, they heard about this and they made a letter to NASA that it's been years that we are using pencils. So you didn't have to undergo such a hardship, such a long time in order to make another product. You just wanted, you could have used pencils instead of pens. So it was very easy. But NASA heard it and they were shocked that, oh, they are right. We just tried so hard to make another product, but we just could have used pencils and it was much easier. So what am I trying to tell you by this? The point is, even huge brands, even big brands, even known brands, they make mistakes as well. And that's okay. That is exactly why we all need consultancy. We all need to talk to others and use their ideas and use other experiences as well. So don't be afraid to ask your questions. Don't be afraid to consult with others. I don't know what to call it. Should I call it that you're afraid of it, or should I call it that you are arrogant for this? But don't do it to yourself. Always try your best to ask people for their advice, for their consultancy, in order to be able to use their experiences as well. So go and learn, go and gain information, go and use other people's experiences. It's important. There's a person with 20 years of experience in the same field as you. So they are more experienced. They have a lot to share with you, and you can use their advice. It's important. You know, instead of trying to spoil others, go and learn from them. You know, unfortunately, we see it a lot on social media, that they come and they try to spoil others in their field. But it's not important. You know, you need to use the experience of the other people that they are also working on the same field as you. For example, if you pay attention to what we say and what we talk about in the podcasts, in videos, in conferences, you will see that we're not trying to talk about other brands. We don't try to spoil any other brand or any other competitor. We just talk about ourselves. We talk about our own capacities, our own experience, because we have something to offer. When you don't have anything to offer, when you don't have anything special, then you have to spoil other brands to get yourself up. It's the same in families. For example, take a look. In your family, in a family gathering, for example, two people, they start gossiping. And when you take a look at these two people, you will see that they basically have nothing to share. So they have to just talk about others. So, my dear people, my dear colleagues, just learn to invest only in yourself. Spend your time only on yourself. Bring yourself up. Learn how to grow. Learn from others. Go and ask your questions. You know, I'm not saying that another brand can be very effective, and if you're not in touch with them, then you cannot do anything done. But it's important to be able to use other people's activities and experiences and advices in order to grow faster and in order to grow easier. So I have to just invest in myself. First, I have to become a specialist. Second, I have to be able to create a distinctive character for myself. And thirdly, I should know where is my target market. If you don't know where is your target market, you don't know what to do, how to act, how to behave. And then finally, at one point, you will be very tired and you will say that market is not good, business is useless. But it's not like this. You just didn't know who are your customers and who you should be focused on. So it was your mistake, and you have a wrong belief saying that business is not good. So these beliefs are not true. The location is important. Where you are putting your focus and your efforts is important. So the market can be amazing if you know your customers, if you know where to be focused on, and if you know where to invest in, where to work, where to put your efforts, and what to do and how to work with them. You should understand every detail about this. And the last point is about concentration. What does this concentration do? See, you have a world of customers. The question is, which customer is the current priority of you? If you have 100 customers, who should I invest in today? Some people, some specialists, some investors, some, like, they don't know this. For example, if I have a customer who wants to purchase $1 billion and 100 million is my profit, should I just be focused on this person, or should I spread my focus? If I have 100 customers, which one should I take care of right now? And which one should be my priority? So should I be just focused on that one special customer, or should I be having the same amount of focus on all of my 100 customers? This is actually a practice that I have for you at the end of this podcast. I'm not going to give you the answer for the concentration. You just go and think about it. Which one do you think you should be focused on, fully focused on, and dedicate your day to that customer? Should I forget about my 100 customers and be only focused on that one who wants to buy today, or should I spread my focus and just be focused on all of them and try to work with all of them. What is the right answer and why? You can tell us with the comments, you can write for us, you can write it as notes and send it, for example, to your mentors as the answer to this podcast. So go ahead, take your time, think about it, and let us know what do you think. Then in the next podcast, in the next audio file, we are going to discuss about it and we are going to tell you what is the right thing to do and why and how to manage it. So I hope this file, this podcast so far was useful and informative for you. Thank you for listening to my points and have a perfect business ahead. Goodbye, everyone.